What is really going on, crypto savages? You are listening to the Coin Spice podcast with host C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief at coinspice.io, your home for spicy crypto things on the net.
What is really going on, crypto savages? This is your host, C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief out at coinspice.io, back with another episode of the Coin Spice podcast. And this time around, I've got Roscoe Callis, who's a developer from the Ethereum community, who's come over to BCH, migrated, if you will, by way of winning a hackathon last year, and more recently working on CashScript, which was presented through an article that caught some heat and some controversy, and really has nothing to do with CashScript or Roscoe Callis himself, but maybe in the way it was described in an article headline is calling it CashScript Ethereum-like. And there were some people on the BCH side of things who really thought maybe that was overselling it a tad, and that it appears that Bitcoin Cash is somehow going to become the new Ethereum. And, you know, there's some wariness about how Bitcoin Cash is presented, and so that started a kind of a broader debate about tone and toxicity and, you know, all this other stuff. And as you know, with Coin Spice, we're not coin kumbaya, right? We're not going to shy away from controversy. We're going to run right at it, because the Bitcoin Cash community can take it. That's one of its many, 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 many valuable aspects, is the fact that the Bitcoin Cash community does debate things out in the open and talks about it. So I figured, why not have the man on himself? Roscoe Callis, the Ethereum, more recently CashScript developer, who can tell us in his own words why the two projects, Ethereum and Bitcoin Cash, are vastly different, and that you know, this is not, you know, putting Ethereum into Bitcoin Cash in any way whatsoever, but more about workflow and these other things. Anyway, he's much better at explaining all this than I am. But without any further ado, here is developer Roscoe Callis.
All right, man. Wow, kind of an admirer from afar, and I'm you know, familiar with your work, basically just on what I've read and seen. But thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me over.
Really, really appreciate it. Now, you're coming over from the the Ethereum side of things. And I'm under the impression that you're still very much involved in that world, that you haven't left, or, you know, you're not, you know, one of these guys we speak of in tribes who's, you know, disgusted by one and moves over to the other. You still dabble in both, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I think I don't really believe in, like, the maximalism that you see going on sometimes in these cryptocurrency communities, because I think, like, especially for something like Bitcoin Cash or Ethereum, I think they serve very different purposes. Like, Ethereum is more like actually decentralized computation, like people running just full computer programs, while Bitcoin Cash is more cash, you know, cryptocurrency to be used as sort of like a cash system that happens also to be able to be somewhat programmed through, like, these script contracts kind of things.
And that's kind of how we find you, in the sense that I think there's some there is some commonality, but like you say, there's a big difference between the two. And I know there's been an effort from people like Gabriel Cardona and some others to kind of open up dialogue, talk a little bit. We're obviously huge fans of Vitalik Buterin. Ethereum has a very good reputation for some top development talent. So I think it's kind of interesting that we're trying to be a little bit more on the Bitcoin Cash side anyway, a little bit more ecumenical about things and open up. But before we get too deep into that, go into a little bit of your background. Like how did you discover or come to cryptocurrency, just in general?
So, I guess compared to some people in the community here, I got into cryptocurrency quite late. You know, I got into it when, you know, during ICO mania in June of 2017. And so, I mean, I had heard about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies before, of course, but I never really looked into it or what the implications would be. And then all of a sudden you saw this surge in like price and you saw these ICOs coming up, and I just got interested and I learned about Ethereum, which excited me a lot because I was studying computer science at the time, so I'm very technical, and I thought, wow, here you can just do like decentralized computation, stuff like that. And you know, at the same time, like, this was also at the height of the Bitcoin scaling debate. So I like when I came in, Bitcoin was basically already unusable as cash. So I came in and I thought, wow, why would anyone want to use this? Like, I mean, without any other preconceptions or anything, you know?
Right.
So I dabble in some altcoins, and I bought some Bitcoin and as well. But then, because like some altcoins you could only buy through Bitcoin, right? So then I would buy Bitcoin on some exchange with fiat currency, and I'd have to send it over and wait for so long. So I would actually usually do that just with Ethereum, and then trade Ethereum for Bitcoin and then Bitcoin for the altcoin, just because it was faster to confirm. Like I could do my trades faster.
Right, rather than try to deal in fiat.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was pretty excited when Bitcoin Cash came around for the first time. I thought, wow, this makes sense. Now I can actually send money. I can use it.
It is interesting, with some perspective looking back, it was only, not even 2 years ago. And really that changed everything. I remember the initial coin offerings just booming in, say, 2014, 2015, but then exploding in 2017. And they sort of tapered off a bit, at least in the United States, on the official level, because of all the prosecutions and crackdowns and so on. But
yeah,
as ICOs go, I think the community is starting, the Bitcoin Cash community, that is starting to embrace the ethos a little bit. Where do you stand now with initial coin offerings and that general notion, sort of the spin-off, the tokenizing, all of that? I mean, it's not necessarily one thing, but are you still a proponent of ICOs?
So I have had some conversations with people about ICOs in the past, because a lot of people I know are like very much against ICOs. Like, ICOs have a very high concentration of scams and stuff like that, and I think that's true. Like, many of the ICOs that we saw, especially in 2017, are just they're gone now, and they just ran with a lot of money. But I mean, I don't think there's anything bad inherently about doing an ICO. You know, it's just a way to raise money, and I mean, if you have some utility to the coin you're offering, then that's fine. You know, the point is that there should probably be a reason why your coin exists. And as long as that's there, then it's fine.
And it might be an interesting time to look at an ICO in this kind of climate, because it would appear, at least theoretically, that they would have to make more of an effort to try to crowdfund, because I think a lot of people now are on to them. So going back a little bit to Bitcoin Cash, you actually saw it. I mean, you were actually, you know, a user, and you saw the difference between BTC and BCH. And what, so you found Ethereum, and did you just start developing on that blockchain, or how did that work?
So it took a while for me to really get involved. So in the beginning, I was just doing my regular work. You know, I was studying, and I was also working on the side for like a real estate company. But then in like almost a year later, I had to do my bachelor's thesis to like graduate. And I thought, well, why not get more into like the whole technical part of this like Ethereum stuff? Why not get more involved with that? So I set up a project to sort of create a an audit trail, so an application log that gets validated against the Ethereum blockchain. So it was like a pretty simple use case, really, but for me it was pretty because I was kind of still new to the technical part of it. It was a nice project. It was good to do, and that's kind of how I got into the whole development stuff, and I continued on with that.
And Ethereum has since gone on to, I think it's safe to say, solidify itself as a project, you know, right beneath, I mean, it's, you know, roughly, I guess, half of the market cap, give or take, but of BTC. And it is a giant project. If you had a crystal ball and could kind of outlook for it, are you bullish on Ethereum? Do you still think it has a lot more to offer?
Yeah. So I'm absolutely still bullish on Ethereum. So, I mean, one of the things we see right now, or we have seen, is that if there is something that gets like a lot of usage, so that was like in 2017 was maybe CryptoKitties. Like if something's popular like that, then it can clog up the whole network right now. So that's probably a big flaw in the current system. So, they're working very hard on it, on like, improving scalability as well. And I think what they're doing, it's like pretty innovative. So we won't see what's going to happen until it happens. But yeah, so I'm excited to see what's going to happen there. So it's like whatever happens, it's going to be novel and interesting to see if it's going to work out.
That is something that I find interesting with Ethereum, is there seems to be a lot of outside the box thinking, and they're able to, again, from what I see from afar, they're able to really tinker and mess around and try things. And they come up with some really, really interesting ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got a taste of Bitcoin Cash and some of the currency side of the tribal wars there, and BCH seemed to perform well. That was, I guess, your introduction to the idea. What finally brought you over to start developing on Bitcoin Cash?
So after my bachelor's thesis was done, I was just doing more stuff with Ethereum. I was I created a few libraries, and I developed a few of my own like dApps or smart contract projects. And I was living in Amsterdam at the time, so at some point the Bitcoin Cash hackathon came over to Amsterdam.
Oh, right.
And yeah, right. So, and I thought, well, I know so much about Ethereum, or at least I understand pretty well, but I haven't really gotten involved with any other projects ever, like in the development sense. So I thought, well, this could be a good opportunity to just experience that. And then there I met Adrian Barwicki from the Honest Cash team, and we just really hit it off, and because we both had experience with Ethereum, and we were saying, well, Ethereum has such a good like workflow, it's such a good development ecosystem, and Bitcoin Cash seemed to be really lacking that. So then we ended up winning by bringing over some of the tooling from the Ethereum side to Bitcoin Cash. And that's kind of when I realized that there's quite a lot of potential in the development ecosystem of Bitcoin Cash. And there's a lot of talented developers actually also, but they lack some of the better tooling that Ethereum has, and that's kind of what I want to bring in there.
Okay, and so you're doing that now a little bit, and it seems like one of your projects, anyway, has bubbled up into a bit of a controversy, which doesn't really have anything to do with you. It just has to do with maybe how its rollout was presented to the Bitcoin Cash community, maybe a little bit, and you got a little bit of heat for that. But let's talk about, because you right away set up that there's a difference, that you know that Ethereum and Bitcoin Cash are different, that they have different use cases and people look at them differently and use them differently. But now let's kind of turn to maybe their commonality. Can you talk a little bit about CashScript, what you think it means and how it might be used in Bitcoin Cash should the development community pick up on it?
Sure, yeah. So the whole this whole controversy thing, I think this article was released and it stated something like Ethereum like smart contracts coming to Bitcoin Cash.
Right.
And some people interpreted that as like Ethereum like functionality. So, you know, we're gonna have these decentralized stable coins like DAI, and we're gonna have like all these kinds of decentralized application things. And well, that's not the way it is, you know. Like I said, there's a lot of difference between Bitcoin Cash and Ethereum. And one of the things is that the scripting engine in Ethereum is just a lot more advanced. It's it allows you to do a lot more than what Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin allows you to do. So,
and that's yeah. Important because it was a distinction that a lot of the developers or some of the developers were making, and they were saying, look, this is not coming to Bitcoin Cash in the way that you've just explained it. That the headline wasn't misleading. It was just in a politically charged environment where, you know, Bitcoin Cash trying to be its own thing, and you know it's everybody's looking to pick at it, you know, for overhyping or underhyping or selling, or you know, that people are saying, oh, you know, there they go again, you know, they're saying this is now they're saying they're going to be the, you know, it's the real Ethereum, and it's kind of more worry about that. And you're saying no. If you read a headline in that way, if you're not charitable, if you're not generous, and you don't take the time to sort of consider it, yeah, you certainly could go in the wrong direction there. But I think you're here careful. You're saying, well, no, this is different. It's a different idea, and you really do get the cash aspect of Bitcoin Cash and why it's important. But how, okay, so then thread that needle. It is something that at least, Gabriel Cardona is no slouch. He's a real great guy and very highly regarded. He finds it exciting. So what about CashScript is interesting? Like how would it be if it were considered into the Bitcoin Cash community? How would it be used? Like what would be its function?
In Bitcoin Cash, we already have this script language that's basically at the heart of every Bitcoin transaction. And the most basic functionality is just, you know, the pay to public key hash thing, which just allows you to send money to anyone else. But that's not the only thing that can be done. So there are other novel things that can be done, and especially with the addition of the Check Data Sig and Check Data Sig Verify opcodes of last November's hard fork, that opens up quite a bit more of these use cases. So one of these things is the Lyco's last will thing that we saw a while back, which allows you to create an inheritance contract, which allows a certain inheritor to inherit your money after you're dead, or you can refresh the contract every 6 months, which is a very interesting use case in my opinion. And the other thing is that local.bitcoin.com, for instance, it launched right now, and it allows you to do these non-custodial sort of over-the-counter trades with each other. these kind of things are pretty difficult to write in just this script language. So what we want to do with CashCrypt is make that easier. That's the main thing. And we were kind of inspired by Tendo Payne, who also wrote a similar thing, similar project called Spedden, which I think came out around November of last year. And I guess what we kind of want to add to that is sort of like what we said, the theory of like workflow. So the Spedden already compiles your high-level code to this Bitcoin script code, but it doesn't help you yet to also use it in an easy way. So me coming from Ethereum, I know how easy it sometimes can be like to use this Ethereum smart contract. So I took a lot of inspiration from there and sort of made a JavaScript library to be able to call these smart contracts, or maybe not call them smart contracts, like script contracts, to call them in a very straightforward way from any JavaScript code. So that's the main thing.
Yeah, is there a difference then between what you guys are working on in terms of CashScript and actually CashScript being implemented? As you know, so with say the headline of coming to Bitcoin Cash, so is the friction or the tension there coming to Bitcoin Cash or Ethereum-like, do you think?
I think the friction was more in the Ethereum-like thing. So, I mean, I think Jamie explained pretty well in the article that the Ethereum-like title he used in the headline was more about this workflow, like I explained. So the that you could use a pretty similar, not exactly the same, but a pretty similar workflow of creating these smart contracts with a similar syntax to what people are used to in Ethereum, and also use these contracts in JavaScript in the same way as well. And I think there's not really something controversial about the idea itself, like the high level language or creating this library, but more in the way it's presented. So
yeah. Maybe, How so far have you found working in the Bitcoin Cash community? Are you enjoying it? How do you see the differences there in terms of how your experience with Ethereum developers and your experience with Bitcoin Cash developers has gone?
So something I like about the Ethereum world so far is that people are pretty positive. Like there's not a lot of conflict. There is some conflict, and especially in the past year or a half year, there has been maybe a rising level of conflicting parties. And
yeah.
And of course, in Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin and like the whole fork debate, there's quite a bit of hostility between the different parties. And so the Amsterdam Bitcoin Cash Hackathon, it was in October. So I kind of got involved with the community around the time of the hard fork. So that was like the height of all the drama. It kind of put me off. Like, I mean, I come in there and there's just people fighting everywhere. But I did like the project and I did like the developments that were being worked on. And actually, I think it has improved a lot since that time, you know, because of course that was just the height of all the different conflict. I think.
Yeah, man, you came right at the, yeah, that was a really rough time, I think, for everybody. And yet, you actually stuck with it, right? You at the Amsterdam hackathon there, I believe you wound up winning it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So we, like I said, we brought over this, we created Panda Cash, which is sort of like the Bitcoin Cash version of Ethereum's Ganache, which is just a spin up and take down local blockchain. So whenever you're doing development, you just create it, you do your tests, and you delete it again. So it doesn't sync with the mainnet. It's just to really test your own development functionality, which for me is something like we kind of continued with that after the hackathon, we ended up dropping the project because we just, Adrian started Honest Cash, of course.
Honest Cash, yeah.
Which is an awesome project as well. And I also got a bit involved with that, but I was also doing my master's at the same time. And of course, now I'm working on this Cash Grid project. So, but I still find that a lot of times I'm saying to Gabriel, yeah, you know, Panda Cash would be really great to have right now. So,
so that, you know, we can look for maybe that being resurrected at some point. That would be interesting.
Yeah, who knows? Well, the focus right now is just really on Cash Grid, but who knows what the future can bring.
And it's interesting. So, in your experience, when you first came over, the Ethereum community was kind of unified, and there was an interesting way to work. And you saw the Bitcoin Cash guys and gals, and you're like, oh, these people are nuts. And then and then that sort of broke apart. And it is kind of funny because I remember we were tipped off a few times to some really, really – I mean, I was taken aback by it. I'm sure this goes on in dev communities all over and within every project. But Ethereum had managed to kind of keep that sort of down and you know, under lock and key. And then, oh, man, one famous guy quit and over Constantinople or whatever. And then another guy, you know, just went on and on and on and on and on. And that, yeah, that was fascinating. And so then Bitcoin Cash, things had sort of settled down there, and they looked a little saner. And then, of course, poor Roscoe here gets battered about. But again, I don't think anybody thought any less of you or anything. It's just a way of interpreting and being sensitive to the outside. So not even the politics inside Bitcoin Cash necessarily. It's outside of it. It's how other people are looking at Bitcoin Cash. But I think from what I've heard and from what I've read, people are very excited about Cash Script and what it might mean and how it might be implemented. So looking forward, kind of what are your hopes with working in the Bitcoin Cash community? Do you have any kind of long-term goals, like going forward, what you hope to achieve?
So, I mean, I guess it kind of depends as well on where we're going to go with this whole Cash Script thing. So, like, we have this idea that this will be good for Bitcoin Cash, you know, having this high level language and also having this like JavaScript interface. Like, the reality is that we don't know yet what's going to happen with that. You know, people might think, why do I want this? And like, there's still not a lot of people actually, like, right now there's not a lot of people doing the script development. Like, you have some people, you have Tendo working on Spedden, and then there's some people who are using that as well. Like, you have Lyco who uses First Last Will, and then there's also people working on just raw script, like for local.bitcoin.com, and there's Tobias Rock who is creating this SLP DEX kind of thing, which is, to me, also looks really exciting. One of the things as well is that we sort of want to make it even more accessible so more people can start picking that up. But of course, we have no guarantee of that happening. No, yeah, so I definitely love to continue with that. So that's
And with development dollars being scarce, it is kind of interesting because we've just come off of this May 15th scheduled network upgrade hard fork. And that seemed to go relatively well until it didn't. And then the fork and the upgrade went well. It's just, you know, the technical debt brought in, and then all the drama with moving forward there with people calling it a 51% attack and on and on and on and on and on. And so I think maybe there's also a hesitancy going forward to look too ambitious, that, you know, there's a lot of things that have to happen first on Bitcoin Cash, getting its house in order, making sure things like those bugs that are a bug that can be exploited aren't to go through code review, these sorts of things. So it almost becomes a triage issue with scarce resources. That, you know, from my outside perspective, again, it's very outside here. Does Ethereum have quite the same funding issues that Bitcoin Cash seems to have?
Well, the funding is like getting scarcer. I feel like after such a long market downturn, and I mean now it's of course getting back up, but there have been plenty of companies that have had to stop working on stuff or had to cut down on employees or on other costs.
Yeah.
So right now a lot of funding is also done by the Ethereum Foundation, which is like the original foundation that started it all.
Right.
But I feel they're also really looking to sort of decentralize this funding as well, because of course in the long run it's not really that sustainable to get all this funding from just these few major parties. But I think also some part of it should maybe be more projects should maybe be profitable in this space, because there's a lot of projects out there. And one interesting thing that I saw Vitalik mention, I don't know, some time ago, was, you know, just having, you know, node software or wallet software or whatever charge maybe like one Satoshi per transaction for themselves. And I think that's really interesting. And I don't really see it happening in practice though. So that's kind of the sad part about that. But I do feel that things like wallets and node software and like these very infrastructural projects are getting underfunded. And I would think that there should be some inherent way in which the users of the platform are actually, you know, funding these projects as well.
Right. And, you know, when we're talking about in the Bitcoin Cash case, anyway, the number four cryptocurrency in the world, roughly, you know, market cap of $7 billion and could easily overnight turn into a $10 billion project, depending on how valuable you find that metric. But the point stands that there's a lot to consider. And so it might be best to, you know, think about infrastructure first. And I think whether it's, you know, that one Satoshi per byte idea or foundations or, you know, fundraisers or however people want to go about it, I think probably the first thing to do is to educate the investing and enthusiast public and let them know from a developer point of view which projects maybe should take priority over which. And I'm not saying there would be even consensus on that, but that at least you would get a better sense. You'd say, oh, I see. So this is sort of the scaffolding. This is the plumbing of everything. And, you know, your house, you could have this beautiful, you know, multi-acre estate, and, you know, but you can't, you know, use the restroom in it. And, you know, it's flooding every 2 seconds and it doesn't, you know, it's not very appealing. And so I think the more that developers speak out and they say, hey, you know, whether it is, you know, this project over here, or this snappy new wallet over there, or, you know, this guy or gal's idea, those are all wonderful. And there's nothing wrong with them. But in terms of having scarce resources, maybe we should look here first. And then that way the public, I think, is better informed about where they want to put their dollar.
Sure, that makes sense. I agree with that. But one of the things is as well that in the long term, maybe donations aren't that sustainable. So yeah. Ideally, we would want to see like some sort of funding scheme that just keeps on producing funding for these projects, you know, so that it's sustainable in the long run as well. And I don't know like what that would be. So I mean, it's obviously a very difficult problem, but I think that might be the root cause of it.
Very, very, very interesting. Well, I super appreciate you coming on, talking with us about all the different controversies. It's nice to meet you, man. I'm certainly glad to have you over on the Bitcoin Cash side of things. We are better for it. I hear a lot of great things. So it's going to be wonderful to kind of watch you going forward. You're actually involved in, you were saying, a master's program right now. What exactly are you studying there?
I'm doing, so I, last year I finished my bachelor's degree in computer science, so I continued on with software engineering, which is a 1 year's master program, so
Okay.
At the end of August I'll be done. And so I'm actually doing this, I'm also at the same time of creating CashScript, I'm writing my thesis about like CashScript and
very nice
language, and also about the other projects like Spedden or, you know, Ivy that we saw in Bitcoin some time ago, and just doing like a comparison between those languages as well.
Very nice. So it's kind of cool to double dip there, to get paid. Absolutely. And to work on it and to be able to write about it and consider it in its historical context. And that's awesome. Do you plan to go on from there in terms of academia? Do you plan on maybe I guess in Europe, what do they call it, a habilitation or a doctorate?
I'm not planning on it. So I do enjoy this sort of like research kind of thing. But I think I enjoy just working on actual industry stuff more. And so I might revisit it in the future. But one of the reasons I chose this master as well, because it was only 1 year. So
getting it out.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, very, very cool. Again, I really appreciate all of your time. I know you woke up this morning so you could talk to us because you're all the way over there in Tokyo. How can people, you know, find your work and kind of follow you if they want to see what's going on?
Sure. So you can always find the CashScript repository on GitHub, which is bitcoin.com/CashScript. And you can find me on Twitter, which is Roscoe Gales. Just look, be on the lookout for any more articles coming, you know? More controversy.
That's right. Roscoe is gonna stir it up. So very, very, very cool. Well, again, you were you're extremely kind for coming on and letting me badger you about the issue. I think the more that we talk about these things and clear the air, the better everyone is, regardless of, you know, what side they take on things. So I think hopefully you'll find as time goes on that the Bitcoin Cash community, though it can be a little bit more cantankerous, is actually very open to dissent and debate and, you know, getting in there and mixing it up. And but in any case, thanks again, man, for doing this. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's definitely fun to be here.